Hi and welcome to another episode of the Standout Online Show. I'm Luke Scott and today we've got an absolutely amazing guest. We've got Garen Jones. Garen is a transformational coach, international speaker. He's one of the top speakers in the whole world. He helps thousands and thousands of people everywhere. This guy is crazy and his life story is insane. And he's going to be here sharing something real, raw. We're just going to be open and honest with you guys. And he's going to tell you how you can go through anything. I've just caught the end of your event. And the message was, it doesn't matter what you've been through. It's what you choose to do right now. And I was like, yes, preach. It's like, yeah. So, man, just thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, you're more than welcome, and thank you for having me. We, like, what, met yesterday?
Yeah.
He, like, hit me up. He was like, hey, are you down for an interview? I'm like, and for me to catch a comment in the Rolodex of 1,000 comments, it's like, boom, 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 interview, boom. Where's this guy? Where's this guy? UK, boom, let's do it, man. Let's make it happen. So the fact that I can do a 3-day transformation workshop and then, like, roll right into this, which I know is going to be an epic interview, I'm just super grateful and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and one of the things you were talking about in your workshop was about manifesting whatever you want. It's about you create whatever you want, right? And if you don't ask for something, you never get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, some people would be like, oh, you know, he's only here for a few days. Like, why would you bother him? But I'm like, hey, I'll give you an opportunity, give you an offer and see. You say yes or no, right? But a lot of people, I find they don't do that. They're uncomfortable asking for what they want. Have you found that too?
Yeah, man. But, you know, you can take it all the way back. It stems from childhood. It's almost like when you're a little kid and, you know, you're a little kid and you're trying to walk across the street and your mom says, hey, don't go across the street. You can die. But then that'll leave an imprint on you because then you'll grow up, or don't talk to strangers or something. Mm. That'll leave an imprint. That will cultivate 30 years of don't talk to strangers, don't, and it's based off of a fear-based tactic.
Yeah.
So then what will happen is when you get older, now the root or the basis of every decision you make is the little kid saying, I can't talk to strangers, or don't cross the street or you'll die, because there's so much fear. You start to build up this invisible wall of fear. It's kind of like the little dog with the shock collar, and he goes bam, bam, bam. After a while, he starts building this pattern in his brain that if I go near this wall, I will get shocked. So because of what we hear growing up in the news and the media, home, school, and a lot of stuff that's based off of fear, this adult who's doing all this stuff on the surface, quitting jobs, quitting relationships, trying to go to the next thing, still taking themselves with them to change what's, like, literally being generated from don't talk to strangers, bam. Mm. Don't do this, bam. Don't do this, you'll get grounded, bam. So just like the dog, he builds this pattern in his brain of, if I do this, I'll get hurt. Mm. So now, we take that shock collar off, even though the shock is not there, you'll go just like this. Their whole entire life.
Yeah.
And they say 9 out of 10 millionaires fail their way to success because they take the most risks. They go past the invisible wall of fear, and that's where the door to more shows up. And that's why most people are stuck in that fixed mindset pattern.
I totally 100% agree. Parents, they have your best intentions at heart. Mm. And telling kids not to talk to strangers, you think that's a good thing. Mm. You think you're keeping them safe.
Right.
But it does create that subconscious program. And I run events all over the world and I see it. Like, you'd say, hey, go talk to your neighbor. And whoa. What?
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, get it. Go stand up. Introduce yourself to 3 people.
Palms get sweaty.
Whoa. I have to go say hi to 3 people. And it comes from that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what advice would you have for a parent who is trying to look out for the kid?
You know, that's a really touchy subject, because you never want to tell somebody how to, like, raise their kid. But being the kid who was told to do that, you know, it's real important to just be aware, because most of the times people are, they're just not aware. You can't change what you're not aware of. Mm. They're just doing what their parents did. It's not to make anybody wrong. It's just to be aware that when you tell somebody something and they trust you and they take it on, that it's like learning the ABCs. Mm. You learn the ABCs, that gets cultivated into words, which gets cultivated into sentences, then essays, then books, then libraries. And that will continue to keep like reproducing itself. So if don't do this or else this is a form of fear ABCs, that thing will get cultivated into the next thing. So it's about just making sure people have the awareness, because once people have the awareness, now they know that they have a choice. Mm. So just knowing that when you say, well, don't do this, and this runs in the family, and doing all this, it's literally trapping people to not ever feel like it's safe to walk out of the beaten path that shouldn't be there in the first place. People always say to me, they're like, I just love the way you think outside of the box. I'm like, what box? Don't be trying to put me in that box. Hell no, I fought tooth and nail. I was the hard-headed, I got spankings, I got kicked out of school because at a subconscious level that I didn't even know, I was fighting for my freedom. Mm. So everything I got in trouble for is everything that I get paid for and that people respect me for. But I was around people who gave in to, okay, and they still do that. So I would just say to the parents out there, like, our language is very, and just being a parent myself, our language is very powerful, and our children are raised to like trust the adult. And that's what we tell them, that's what they learn in school. But just having the awareness that you could potentially send them down a pathway where they don't know how to get out because they don't have context. And that's the only thing. People just say, okay, yeah, sky is blue. Why? Oh, because they said so. Okay. And then they just say yes. So I would just suggest maybe give them context so they can understand why they're doing something, and then ask them, what does that mean? And if they can comprehend, if they can like regurgitate what you said, it will show that they comprehend it. If they don't comprehend it, then you're gonna set them up for a trap long term. So just having that awareness and having the conversation, the context conversation, so they know why they're doing what they're doing, would be a massive help.
I think that works. That's amazing advice, and it works more than just outside of with your kids.
Absolutely,
like with your friends, with your family, with your employees. Like, if you tell someone to do something, they might do it once. Yeah. But if you explain to them why, if they do that thing, it's going to help them. If you ask them, do you get this? Like, do you have any questions around it? And you get them to start thinking critically, and really just having awareness. And I love that word, awareness.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? I always teach people, ask questions about everything. Yeah. Question everything. And all the most successful people I meet, they do that.
And I. There was a point in time in my life I was super lost. I didn't have a relationship with my daughter. She didn't even want me in her life, and I couldn't figure out how to have a relationship with my daughter's mother, who's an incredible woman. I just never choose to see that, but she would always say, you don't have integrity. And my pride would be like, I didn't even know what integrity meant. But I was like, yeah, I do. Never bothered to look it up. Mm. You know, I learned what integrity was. This was back in 2002. When she said that, I learned what integrity was 3 years ago. Mm. I'm like, that's what integrity means? I can do that. But I never knew what honoring your word is. Mm. If your word creates your world and I never honor my word, then I don't have ownership of my world. I didn't know that. I was just, you don't have integrity. Yeah, I do. But now that I have the awareness of what that is and I have the context, it allows me to own, yes, I do, rather than fight back with some pride or ego kind of response, which never gets you anywhere.
That really reminds me of something you said in your event. And it's something that is just so true. If the same thing keeps happening to you again and again and again, it's because the universe is testing you and you keep failing the test.
Yeah.
So if people are showing up in your life saying, hey, you've got no integrity, and that keeps happening, it's because the universe, your soul, whatever you want to call it, that thing that's so much greater than us, is trying to get you to say, hey, check your integrity.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I, you know, it's funny that you pointed that out, because I have an easy way for people to understand their tests. If you ever played Zelda or Super Mario Brothers, there's always a dragon at the end of the round. And so you got to go through these ups and downs and like these little animals that come out of nowhere. And you got to face a dragon. Well, you get to face a dragon at the end of the round. You lose to the dragon, stay on the same level.
Yeah.
Beat the dragon, go to the next level. If you don't understand that one, how about in school? At the end of the school year, there's a final exam. You fail the final exam, stay in the same grade. Pass it, go to the next level. And there's like these little ups and there's downs and there's ups and there's downs. And preparing people for those tests and knowing that they're going to come no matter what. Kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, highest of the class. Guess what? Drop. Sixth, seventh, eighth, highest of the class, drop. Ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th, life. And there's all these tests, all these drops, all these climbs. And then you look at mountains, it's in the same structure. And you look at the sign of life, it's the same structure. So the sign of life and testing is all, it's all part of life. It's all connected.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about your entrepreneurship journey, because I know you were like, you said $200,000 in debt.
Yeah. Not including the people.
And you've been to prison and all this kind of crazy stuff. And then you became just this superstar international businessman with hands in all sorts of different areas.
Yeah.
And there's a really cool thing I've seen, which is, it says, people think the journey to success is a straight line. But it's not. It's a squiggly line with like mountains you have to climb and tornadoes and volcanoes. And then eventually you get somewhere successful and people go, wow, you made it. How did you do that?
I've been documenting my journey.
So what's your entrepreneurship journey been like?
Honestly, the discovery of self, like the more I got to know myself, the more people like wanted to be around. It was... I was lost when I was trying to be famous. Like I wanted to be seen and famous so bad. That's when I felt the most invisible. But then I ended up like losing weight. I felt good. That affected the way that I think, which affected the way that I speak, which affected like my actions, which affected the outcome. Because I felt so good, I just wanted people to feel the way I felt. And then I would listen to the same audiobooks or read the same books that I read before when I was blind and I couldn't see beyond my insecurities, and they sounded very different. And I heard John C. Maxwell say, successful people are willing to do the things that unsuccessful people won't do. Yeah. I was broke, I was insecure, I was negative, I gossiped, and I just looked at my life. I was like, holy, Now wonder why money doesn't even want to be my friend. Because I don't even want to be my friend. And they say you attract who you are, not who you pretend to be, but who you are when nobody's around and you look in the mirror and the truth shows up. So once I really got clear to the fact that I don't even love me. I don't even like me. I don't even want to be here. So now it makes sense why my life looks like death. But when I got that, successful people are willing to do the things that unsuccessful people won't do. I never read books, so I started reading books. And there's a lot of stuff that I never did. And I was like, dang, I'm looking at all these successful people. They're like greeting people a certain way. They're not all on their phones when like people are trying to talk to them. I was like, well, let me just start doing that. They got a life that I want. Like I see the way people respond to him. I see the way he looks into their eyes. I see the way he pays attention to other people's like families, birthdays, or she does this for that person. I'm like, well, I'm going to try doing this. I don't know if it's going to work, but I know what 30 years of my life doing the exact same thing looked like. So I just started, it was almost like getting training wheels. I was like duplicating all these successful people that I just resonated with. I was inspired by this person and that. I was like, well, didn't they say wake up in the morning early? I wake up at 11, so I'm gonna wake up at 6. It's hard as hell, but I'm just gonna do it. And I started doing it. Then I started getting healthy. Then I started reading books every day. Then I sold the TV. Then I, in my car, I was just listening to audiobooks all day long. You listen to a song all day long, you're singing the melody. I was listening to success conscious thoughts all day long. So my melody became words that I was speaking, power of positive thinking, health consciousness, wealth consciousness, and that became my new melody over and over and over and over. So how I became into entrepreneurship, entrepreneurship is I started this self-mastery of myself. And in discovering myself, other people started like, how'd you do that? What'd you do? What book are you reading? They start asking all these questions. And as I'm doing that, they start sharing a message. You should listen to this guy. This is while I'm living in my car. So I don't know that this big life is gonna come. What I do know is I'm not where I was, and I'm gonna keep moving forward because I feel good. And I said, I just want everybody to feel like I feel, because everybody around me is complaining. They're complaining about being broke. They're complaining about their family. They're complaining about traffic. And I'm like, yo, I'm just happy to be alive. And I just kept doing that. Those kind of just turned into opportunities because the same people that were inspired by me transforming my own life had opportunities for me to be able to inspire other people in their platform. And those people were inspired, and it's just people kind of organically just kept coming. And I was just like, well, if I can just reach people through any platform and share them with what I have, I'd do it for free. But fortunately for me, people kept offering me money for stuff. And then the money just kept going. And I was like, well, I want to share with more people. And the money just kept growing. And I wanted to do stuff with this money. I just didn't want to keep it. Mm-hmm. So I became like one of the top, you know, all-time donors at my church in as far as tithing. I became one of the top donors in several of my businesses when it came to offering to the charities. And I started doing stuff, and the more I was doing that, like, the more money kept coming. I was like, this is cool. Like, I give it away to people that like need help, and it comes back 10 times fold. And I'm a person who follows patterns very well, like Neo in the Matrix when it comes to patterns. Yeah. I was like, well, I like this pattern. It feels good. People are happier. So I'm gonna keep doing that, and I'm gonna keep sharing that. And that turned into what we would call entrepreneurship. I just loved learning more about myself and teaching people in ways to discover more about themselves.
Beautiful. I want to focus in on something that you said, because I was like, yes, when you said it. You said, even though you were living in your car, you felt good.
Yeah.
And that for me is something that I wish everybody could just understand.
Yeah.
Is in every moment, like right now, everything's beautiful.
Yeah.
And we can choose to focus on the beautiful things. But if you wanted to right now, you could focus on something painful.
Absolutely.
There's something happening in your life
right
now.
There's a blister. I have no socks on. And there's a blister that's already bursted right now. And I can feel the burn. But
there's always, in every moment, there's every single possible emotion is there. And, you know, you can be on a beach on a tropical island and you can complain because you've got nothing to drink. Right? There's always something to focus on. You can focus on something nice or something not. And I don't believe in burying your head in the sand and pretending, you know, life's just amazing and I never have any problems, because let's get real, okay? Let's get grounded. Let's get in your body. There's stuff happening for a reason. But when you were saying that, what's your advice for people? Like, how can they feel more and use their feelings?
And, you know, and the word feeling is the secret. People are looking for all the stuff that they already can generate with inside of them. I was living in my car for 2.5 years. I was living in and out of abandoned buildings, stayed in my storage unit. But I was doing, I always wanted to do, like, inspire people. I had a personal development series called The Storage. Nobody knew that. But it felt so good to take what I loved and bring joy to somebody else's life. And I just kept doing it because when I wasn't doing it, I felt like crap. I was like, damn. So I'm just keep doing what I love and bringing joy to other people's lives. So there was this thing that I picked up on. I was like, every time I do something that I love, I feel better, especially when other people get happy from what I love. Then I stumbled upon, we have an inner child inside of us. When I was a little kid, I used to love pandas, running, singing, dancing, drawing, a visual artist. When I got away from that stuff, that's when I was the most lost. When I went back to that stuff, that's when my life was the most on fire. And I like to say, if you can imagine what it's like for a little kid to come up to your leg, like a little, if you, any of you at home have kids, come up to your leg and say, mom, 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 dad, 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 and you ignore that child for 30 years, 20 years, what would the relationship be like? Empty, dark, cold, there wouldn't be a relationship. So if you at home has ever said, I feel like something is missing, even with all your success, well, your inner child, I'd like to say, this is what I believe, is your spiritual umbilical cord to heaven, to the universe, source energy, however you want to dress it up. So the stuff that you loved as a child, you know, when you had all the energy, when you were growing the most, when you visualized the most, when you had the biggest dreams, that time. The stuff that you loved before you started doing what mommy and daddy told you to do or swayed you because nobody's paying attention to that, you know, like the president of the United States, superhero, those kind of things. Whatever that is, every time you say, well, I used to do this when I was a little kid. Or you get this jolt that comes inside of you. So, so I should create that. But it's an idea that came to you. And you don't honor it. Or every time you think about what you used to do when you were a little kid and you don't honor it, it's your inner child going, mom, 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 dad, dad, dad. And it might have been 20 years that you abandoned the truest part of yourself, because the truest part of yourself is your heart. And so when you go away from the heart to settle upon a job or do something that somebody else said you should do, you leave the center. And when you leave the center, you leave yourself. So you're all these places. That's why most people get stuck and lost. So when I went back to the center, that's everything that stimulated my heart. That's when I felt the most alive. So when you feel like something is missing, really identify, well, when was the last time I did something that I loved as a child? I spoke to a girl the other day. She's like, I feel something's missing. I was like, what'd you love as a child? I love as a child. I used to love dancing. It used to make me feel so free. When was the last time you danced? 20 years ago? I said, you've been ignoring your inner child for 20 years. And with that relationship from the spiritual and the physical so out of alignment, I feel like something is missing. Is that alignment in the relationship where the relationship is dark and cold and that inner child, mommy is not there. Give birth to a baby and go raise somebody else's kids and see how your child ends up liking you. And as somebody who didn't have the relationship with his daughter for 15 years, I know what that's like, but I also know what it's like to actually pay attention and make her my world, and now our relationship is on fire. So I know what it's like on both ends of the spectrum. So people aren't stimulated because they've forgotten themselves. So I'm just reminding you of who you already are, or what your soul already knows.
Beautiful. One of my friends, he's a really powerful healer, a really powerful teacher, and he has a picture of himself when he was a kid, and it could be like 3, 4, 5, whatever resonates with you. And he has it somewhere, he sees it every day. And every day he just says hi to his little kid and keeps that connection. And I think that's really beautiful. Yeah, that's a powerful, powerful message.
AKA pandas.
Pandas, yeah. So this is a standout online show, and something you definitely do is you stand out. If anyone wants to see how much Garen stands out, by the way, go on his Facebook. He just did a post like 2-3 days ago with this incredible 8-pack. I don't know, it looks like it's chiseled from marble or something. It's kind of like it's a nothing, you know, bathroom mirror selfies. Right? All the guys just getting super jealous, and all the girls are like, can I get his number?
Hi, guys.
What does standing out mean to you? I know that's something you teach people, is to embrace their awesomeness, right?
Yeah. You know, standing out, because if you try to stand out, you'll lose yourself in the process. Mm. What I do is I do my best to live out the fullest expression of myself, not my mom's version of myself, not my friends or society's version of myself. There's a voice that talks to me all the time. Not the crazy one, but the one that says, do this, you love to run, wear this, those are your favorite colors. Mm. So what I teach people is the greatest gift that you can give to the world is you in your authentic form. And there's no one can be more youer than you. I feel like Cat in the Hat right now. But no one can be more youer than you. But the best way I can describe it is you see a fish. Fish is flowing. See, but he's just using everything that's already inside of him. Mm. All parts that's already inside of him. The bird soaring, using every part that's already inside of it. Mm. Alligator doing what the alligators do, using everything that's already inside of it. However, if the bird were to try to be an alligator, that might seem difficult. So when you try to be something that you're not because of a magazine or a music video or what someone said trying to fit in, that's the bird trying to be an alligator. It sounds ridiculous. However, that's how most people live their lives. So I teach them, just be the damn fish. The fish don't even know he's a fish. When you're being, when you're in the essence of who you already are, using everything that's already inside.
Someone says to it, you're a fish, and it goes, am I?
Yeah,
look.
Just flow.
Look how you swim. Beautiful, and you said something really great in your event as well, which is about being yourself and owning your own style. You said, duplicate what I do, but in your own way.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah.
So many people, they see someone doing something and they say, okay, I'm gonna be that, I'm gonna copy. And copying's okay when you're first learning, but you have to put your own style on it. You have to put your own swag on it. You have to make it yours.
Totally. Because when you have your creative expression, it just allows people to experience the real you and not this carbon copy robot. Like, we are not robots. And so if you try and copy pandas and pandas don't speak to your heart, you're gonna look cheesy. Like, I don't give a damn what anybody says about how I dress, how I look, because I'm so comfortable, like, loving every aspect of me. It took a long road to get there. Mm. However, how I live my life has, your opinions of my life, like, has zero impact on how I choose to live my life. And it's if you try and copy me, you'll leave yourself in the process. And when you leave yourself, what will happen over time is you'll start resenting me. You're resenting whatever you're, that's so stupid. I can't believe you made me do that. No, homie, check this out. Nobody can make you do anything. So I always love to give people context. Mm. This is what I'm doing. Yeah. There is a philosophy. Learning the structure of ABCs is a philosophy. Now, the words that you choose to learn after that, you create that pattern. Mm. That's why some people are good in math, or they're good in this other subject, they're good in this other, but if everybody was the same way, the same thing, the same, this would be the most boring world that I would want to live in. I was like, yo, this is like played out. Like, I love your style, but like, I love my style, and I love her style and his style and his style, but that's what makes us us. And so I could learn from you because I'm not you. And you can learn from me because we're not the same people. But if we're the same people, people are like, oh, your vibe attracts your tribe. But yeah, but don't stop growing. Mm. Don't get comfortable in that tribe where everybody's learning the same thing. Mm. You can't ease your way up a mountain. You don't have to climb, but you climb through people as y'all are helping each other up that mountain.